Thank you, Sam. And we're so grateful and thankful for the presence of all of you this morning. And if you're a mother, thank you for being here this morning in this assembly. And, you know, I was thinking about that song, Precious Memories. I have precious memories of Windows 7. I don't know about the rest of you, but we have gotten a new computer, and we had the tech put Windows 10 on it. And it makes a lot of mistakes. I'll tell you, it's been very, very difficult for me to maneuver a little bit in Windows 10. And I want to apologize again for the incorrect information up here about John Modern's memorial service. Dwight and I were talking about that yesterday. We made the correction, but it didn't save it for some reason or another when we put it in here in the auditorium. But that memorial service will be held on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock here at the building, and visitation the night before between 6 and 8. I remember when John and Ann became members here at Crockett Road and many years ago, and they're very devoted, wonderful Christians, and we shall miss John very greatly, and I know that his family will as well. I want to talk to you this morning about honor to whom honor is due. You know, the Bible says a lot about that we are to pay tribute, that we are to pay honor to people who are worthy of honor, and that today being, of course, Mother's Day. You know, the Bible really blesses motherhood, and we should bless it as well. To think that there is a special day in which we pay tribute to mothers. And the Crockett Road congregation, if you're visiting with us today, we want you to know that you're welcome. And no gift to your mother can ever equal her gift to you. That is the gift of life. Mother's Day is the most widely observed holiday in America this year, 2025, and that has been the case in years that have gone by. Can you imagine superseding Christmas, superseding Easter, Father's Day? Can you imagine that one? But anyway, 96% on average. There are more than 82 million mothers in the United States of America. When I think about motherhood, my mind really goes back to the Old Testament, to some of the great matriarchs of old. I think of King Lemuel, one of them, and we believe that Solomon actually wrote under a pen name in the Old Testament, and his name was King Lemuel. And anyway, he wrote the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. We believe that some of those particular chapters were written by different people. And we know that in Proverbs chapter 31, the Bible portrays the beauty of a good and godly woman. In Proverbs 31:1, the words of King Lemuel, or Solomon, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, I want you to think about that a minute. What he's writing here in that 31st chapter, beginning in about verse 10, is telling us about his own mother and what he observes from her life. And, you know, we can observe a lot. We would observe, first of all, that this woman was very trustworthy based upon verse 11. For the Bible says that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. You know, trust is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And it's a bad thing when you can't trust people, or maybe when you can't trust a loved one. But we know that Solomon is saying that his mother was trustworthy. But not only was she trustworthy, but the Bible also says that she was strong in her convictions. In verse 17, she girds herself with strength. Think about that one, if you will. She girds herself with strength, physical strength, emotional strength, but also with spiritual strength as well for her husband. She was soft and merciful, caring for the less fortunate, and demonstrating compassion in verse 19 and 20. She stretches out her hand to the poor and to the needy. She is not only caring and compassionate, but she is optimistic, verse 21 says, of that particular text. Because she's not afraid for her children, and they're clothed and they're taken care of in life. And isn't that what God asks us? She is a woman who is strong and dignified, verses 22 and 23. For the Bible says that her clothing is purple and silk. She spares nothing for her children and for her husband and for their needs. But this woman was industrious. She was working all the time. You go back and read that passage, you'll find out that she was industrious. Verse 13, 16, 24, and then in verse 27. For the Bible says that she buys a field and she plants a vineyard. Her candle goeth not out by night. She makes girdles and delivers them to the merchants. She is extremely busy. If you don't believe it, look at verse 27. The Bible says that she does not eat the bread of idleness. You know, sometimes people can be too involved and not meet the responsibilities that are placed upon them of motherhood or being a wife. When I think about that computer I was talking about a moment ago, you know, we all need people to help us, and I appreciated Dwight the other day. Someone said that's why we need wives, that's why we need mothers. And do you know why God made Eve and why he made mothers? I can tell you. There are 10 reasons. First of all, God worried that Adam would frequently become lost in the garden and he would not ask for directions. God knew that one day Adam would require someone to locate and hand him the television remote. God knew that Adam would never go out and buy himself a new fig leaf when his worn out fig leaf was too cheap to wear and would therefore need Eve to buy a new one for him. God knew that Adam would never be able to be a doctor, make a doctor dentist haircut appointment for himself. God knew that Adam would never remember which night to put the garbage out on the curb. God knew that if the world was to be populated, men would never be able to handle the pain and discomfort of childbearing. And as the keeper of the garden, since he didn't have metal sheds or greenhouses, Adam would never remember where he left his tools. Apparently, Adam needed someone to blame his troubles on when God caught him hiding in the garden. And as the Bible says, it is not good for man to be alone. And last of all, when God finished the creation of Adam, he stepped back, scratched his head, and said, I can do much better than this. You know, we all are thankful for mothers. We're thankful for our wives and for those who do so much. And when you look at those verses, verses 28 through 31, sometimes we have a way of taking for granted the people that we love and the people that are so important to the home. I wonder today, do we take for granted a good, godly mother? Making a good home is not just about cooking and cleaning. This woman actually saw the privilege and the honor of caring for the family, and there is joy in serving those that you love. Motherhood is not some second-rate choice of a woman. It is a first-rate choice. Sometimes people say, I have talking to women, they say, well, I don't have a job, I'm just a homemaker, or I'm a housewife. You know what? That is the greatest job in all of the world. It is the greatest job that you could possibly hold. There are some things about motherhood, however, that we should consider. First of all, mother's work is demanding. Would all the wives agree with that? Amen? Amen. It is. It is demanding. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of money. And it certainly takes a lot of sacrifices on the part of a godly mother. It takes patience. Those of you that have children understand exactly what I'm talking about. And these are the demands of your life. Mother's job description is found in the Word of God. It is not the job description that the world might offer you today. When mothers become so entrenched and so involved in community life, and I'm not saying that's not important, but not to the neglect of our own children. There are reasons why God made wives and mothers. One mother posted in the room of her child, "Your mother doesn't work here. Clean up your own mess." And you know what? That's something that children need to be taught. Secondly, don't depreciate the worth of a godly mother. A mother will love you when no one else will love you. Don't, and someone offered this advice, I thought this was a good one. Don't aim to be the earthly saint with eyes fixed on a star. Just try to be the fellow your mother thinks you are. You know, if the truth were really known, it might shock our moms. In Exodus 20 and verse 12, however, and also over in the book of Leviticus 19, the Bible says, and it really was one of the first 10 of the 10 commandments that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. And it was to honor your father and your mother. And as I've written here, you would think that that would be something that just comes naturally, that you would pay tribute and honor to your mom or to your mother who brought you into this world and who is rearing you to become that godly person. But isn't it a shame that it has to be learned? It has to be taught. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Do not forsake," the Bible says, "the law of your mother." Motherhood is worthy of respect and honor. And sometimes we have a tendency to forget that. Her teaching is not to be abandoned. For Proverbs 1 and verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father." Listen to it. "And forsake not the law or the teaching of your mother." Your word, David said, "have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." I rather think that David was talking about the words that his mother had shared with him about God as well. She is not to be despised, mocked, or scorned. I don't care whatever the circumstances are. But we have a lot of young people today that do not honor their parents. They do not pay tribute to their mom. Proverbs 15 and verse 20, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but foolishness in a man despiseth his mother." And then go to Proverbs again, 17 and verse 25. "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him." Proverbs 23 and 22, "Hearken unto the father that beget thee, and despise not the mother when she is old." Someone asked me a number of years as a young gospel preacher, "How long should I honor my mother? Or how long should I pay tribute to her life? I should be on my own now." No, you honor her as long as she lives. And it means that you pay tribute to them. You know, too many of our mothers who are in nursing homes today, assisted livings, never see their parents, their children. And they leave the care of their mother in the hands of someone else. You and I have the responsibility to, I don't care how old they are, I don't care how senile they become, you and I have the responsibility of caring for and loving our mother. And you better make sure you do. No one can love a child like a mother. God compares his love for us with that of a mother. Isaiah 49 and verse 15. And mothers can communicate self-worth in a way no one else could. Sam was talking about his mom. You know, I remember growing up as a young boy over in Hallsville, Texas. And I know that no one loved me like my mother loved me. My mother encouraged me, and she gave me strength, and she taught me, along with my father, the Word of God that I will never, ever forget. I'm like Abraham Lincoln, who said, I am today what I am because of my loving mother. Mothers are to love their children. Love them. Children are to love their mother. It works both ways, doesn't it? In Titus 2 and verse 4, the Bible says that they may teach the younger women, that is mothers, to be sober, to love their husband, and to love their children. And as I said, you would think that these are things that would not have to be taught. But that things would just come natural. What does a mother's love do? Love is fuel for her life. When life gets rough, love gives strength. And when life gets tough, love gives power. And when life lets you down, love gives you encouragement. And when it seems empty, love gives meaning to your life. And when life gets mundane, it is love that gives you enthusiasm. And when life seems sad, love gives joy. And when life gets confusing, it is love that gives us clarity. Number four, mothers are not perfect, but are worthy of respect. You know, I've heard people say, well, I don't have to honor my mother. She's not a Christian. She doesn't love God. You know what? Nowhere in the Word of God would you ever find God saying that because your mother is a Christian, or because she birthed you and she's not doing what she ought to do, you don't have to respect her. No, God doesn't say that. It's like our enemies. Maybe you considered your mother an enemy, but in the book of Matthew 5, Jesus said to love your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. Mothers are not bad. Anybody in here perfect? Is there anyone in here perfect? Raise your hand. Not a soul. How many of you, because you are perfect, have a right to condemn someone else? Not a soul. You know, sometimes people like to talk about other mothers, what they ought to do and what they should be doing. Sometimes mothers need to take a look at their own lives and look in the mirror. They're not perfect, but they're worthy of respect. I don't care who you are. In the book of Romans 3 and 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned, and they fall short of the glory of Almighty God. We all do. And even laws are not perfect. There is no one perfect. There is only one law that is perfect, and that's the Holy Scriptures. For listen to what James 1:25 says. But whoso looketh into the perfect, here's your perfect law. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Only one perfect law, and that is the law of our God. No, mothers are imperfect. We all make mistakes. Fathers do too. Sometimes people say, well, I wouldn't do that if that were my child. You ever heard people say that? Maybe that's why God didn't give you that child. Sometimes people are so critical of other people. Be patient. Be loving. Be the kind of mother you ought to be, and not what someone else ought to be. For in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15, Paul told Timothy, he said, but continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. There are some mothers here today, I'm convinced of this, I know what I'm talking about, praying that their children will obey the gospel and be baptized or recommit themselves unto God, and may their tribe increase. Much to be learned. We need to ask God to help us to set the right kind of example by surrendering our life to Him. For Christ taught in the book of John 6, he that would come to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, even children make mistakes. And our best attempts to honor mom, you know what? Kids make mistakes. There was a four-year-old one time and a six-year-old who presented their mother with a house plant. They had used their own money, actually, to go buy it, and she was so thrilled. But the older of them said with a sad face, there was a bouquet that we really wanted to give you at the flower shop. It was pretty, but it was real expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, rest in peace. And we thought it would just be perfect because you're always telling us that you need a little quiet and peace. But you know what? Even children make mistakes. But they recover and they go on because they remember the lessons that have been taught. This morning, as we bring our service to a close here, I would suggest to you this morning that the most important thing you can leave your child is a godly example and to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. And there may be those in this audience today that are not Christians that need to come to Christ, that need to obey the gospel. You know that. And you've been putting it off for a long, long time. Wouldn't today be a good time to make that decision? And honor not only your God who is in heaven, but your mom who is on earth. Their future is in your hands. What are you doing to shape their future? Are you leading them closer to Jesus? Something you need to think about while we stand and while we sing.